This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of the Morning Rose, with Spadoni and Shasta, you're going to be joined by Jason Richardson, and we got him as he joins us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Joe Shasky, isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Jason Richardson, just one of the greatest dunkers in the history of the sport. Warriors legend. And, you know, we've been telling you about this great event, Shasky, about at the Warfield this weekend for the last couple weeks now. It's the Celebrity Pickleball Bash. Tons of celebrities, including T.O., Molly, Brandi Chastain, Fezzi Fell. Fessus Azili was on earlier with us. He was on with Stein and Goo yesterday, too. For your tickets, go to celebritypickleballbash.com right now to go take part in this. And, Jason, I see you and Baron Davis are coaching the team competition against Run TMC. As we look at your roster, you got T.O., you got Brandi Chastain, you got Uriah Faber, shot the UFC Hall of Famer, Lachelle Sprewell, also could have been in the UFC, and others. You ready to take Baron down, Jay Rich? What's up, man?
Yeah, I am. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be a part of this opportunity in pickleball. I became a pickleball fan once I played the sport. It's unbelievable. I play with my kids and my wife all the time. So now I get the coach and try to get a victory this weekend.
Let's go. Hey, obviously we got the All-Star game this weekend, and there's so much that's been happening in the NBA. I'm sure you're well aware of. Luka Doncic is now a Laker. De'Aaron Fox is now a San Antonio Spur. Anthony Davis is a Dallas Maverick. Oh, and Jimmy Butler, yeah, this guy, who was in Miami and definitely suspended, is now a Golden State Warrior. What did you make of all the craziness in the NBA that took place in the last 2 weeks, and obviously culminating with Jimmy Butler now being a Golden State Warrior?
Well, when it's all said and done, you still realize that basketball is a business. The NBA is still a business. And, you know, anybody can get traded at any moment. Teams are always trying to make moves that make their roster better to try to win a championship. You know, right now, you got still knock off the champs. That's Boston. You know, they still pretty much got their roster intact. Probably second up is Denver Nuggets, and everybody else is just fighting to try to get in those spots. So when you see those type of trades, like a Luka trade for Anthony Davis or Jimmy Butler coming from Miami to Golden State, these are all teams that are just trying to position themselves to get the best odds and trying to help themselves propel to win the championship.
Yeah. This All-Star weekend, like Jay Rich, you're one of a lot of my boys' favorite players because of what you meant for the team, the organization at that particular time. There was like the Depression era Warriors, and like All-Star Weekend was basically our playoffs, and you were our guy. I'm being real. Like, you were our guy. I'll never forget when you threw the ball off Boozer's face. It was just an all-time moment. Is Boozer mad to this day that you did that? And you hit the three.
No, it's not. Actually, our kids played basketball together. My two sons played at Columbus, where his two sons are starting at. There was no disrespect on that. That was just what people didn't understand back in, you know, early 2000. That was a street ball move, you know, a street ball and one mixtape. That was a big thing. They had the move was called Off the Hizzy. It was no disrespect to Booze. Booze was my brother. I'd known him since high school. We were McDonald's All-Americans together. We played on the USA 2019 under together. He was a little mad for me for a little bit, but we're good. We golf buddies now. We go golf and we talk about our kids. We cheer our kids on when they're playing games. So there's no bad blood between us.
No, I love that. I love that. You know, you win the back-to-back dunk competitions, and you were such a, like, it reminded me of Dominique because you were a great two-foot jumper. Like, there's different kinds of dunkers. And I think you got robbed the following year after the two in a row. You had a first-round dunk between the legs off the backboard prior that was all-time. I don't know. I what's your favorite of all the dunks that you did? Because that might be my favorite one of all time.
Yeah, that was cool dunk. Actually, that dunk in that third dunk contest off the backboard, that was supposed to be my final dunk, but things happened. I couldn't make the 360 between the legs, and I had to pull that out. So I didn't really have a real dunk for the last dunk, so I kind of had to pull that one out. But I think my favorite dunk is in the second one, the last one, reverse between the legs. Just the reaction coming down, seeing my peers running on the court, rewatching the highlights and hearing Kenny Smith saying there, the dunk contest is back. He's seen something he never seen before. So that's probably my favorite dunk I've done.
Talking to Jason Richardson here, former dunk champ 02 and 03, runner up in 04, should have been three times in a row, as you just heard from Joe Shasky. And Jason, you know, we have the All-Star game here in the Bay. We have the skills challenge. We have the celebrity thing. We have all of that going on. But the dunk contest used to be the thing.
The rite of passage.
The rite of passage. We used to think of, obviously, when it was at Oracle last time I was here, Vince Carter.
Yep.
Right? You think of that. It's over. It's over. Everyone's seen the meme, right? Of Vince Carter, this, that, and the other. One of the great dunkers of all time, like yourself. What happened? Why is it that the dunk contest I'm seeing, and no disrespect to these guys, why am I seeing G League players and I'm not seeing, you know, the all-stars that are going to be playing on Sunday participate anymore? What's happened?
Well, what happened is it just get to the point where, you know, anything physically you could do during a dunk contest is almost getting impossible now because everybody has seen everything. Especially now you got these YouTube dunkers out there. These guys are incredible dunkers. They coming up with stuff that is just amazing. And, you know, the fans want to see NBA players do that. But I think what we don't realize is, you know, most fans don't realize NBA players are not just dunking all day, every day. They're not working on dunks. They're working on a game. They try to win games. And so we kind of got a lot of guys that, you know, don't really work on a dunk contest. I didn't work on a dunk contest when I was doing it. So it become a thing that we already seen this before. And it got a little bit stale, but I think this year dunk contest is going to be really good. Mac, of course, going for the three-peat. I think it'll be the first time ever for three-peat. A big fan of Andre Jackson. I think he's really good. Been watching that kid since he was in high school. I think Matas is going to surprise some people with his athleticism. And then I think the sleeper is Stephen Castle. So I think this dunk contest is going to be really good. I think these guys will bring a lot of energy. I think it's going to be some dunks that, you know, some people have seen before, but it's going to have a different twist to those guys, and they're going to make it their own.
And speaking of dunks, we have the call right here, Jay Rich, 2003, your game-winning dunk right here. Not game-winning, but event-winning dunk in 03. Let's take a listen.
This kid has to jump off 2 feet also.
Doc Rivers, first and foremost, already losing his voice through the call. Jay Rich, I mean, you just think back to those moments and what they meant to you. And do you feel some type of way that, like, the three-point shot has kind of, like, taken over the dunk as the cool thing? All the kids want to be Curry, right? Everyone wants to be Steph. They want to be Kyrie. They want to be Dame. Do you feel some type of way about that?
No, that just showed the evolution of the game because, you know, to do the dunks that, you know, myself, Michael Jordan, Vince Carter, Dominique Wilkins, some of these guys are doing, you can't do those dunks. Even if the rim was lower, you still probably couldn't do those dunks. But I think when Steph came in, he became such a phenomenal shooter like he always was and elevated to one of the greatest shooters ever. You know, the average kid could look like, hey, I could shoot the ball. And so that just showed the evolution of the game. There's no hard feelings that the dunk been replaced by the three-pointer, but I do think we still need to have, you know, dunking in games because it still can get the crowd going. It still can get your teammates going, and this is still an exciting play of basketball.
All right, speaking of evolution, if I would have told 2006, 2007 Jason Richardson that Baron Davis would be doing a podcast that is wildly successful with Draymond Green, of all people, and that Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson would be the darlings of the media with their own podcast. I mean, my head is exploding thinking about, like, what they were, you know, back then as players and how they were perceived and how they're perceived now. Does that blow you away?
It doesn't blow me away if you really think about it because, you know, Baron and Draymond, they're very outspoken guys. They've always been the life of the party. Anywhere they go, they always spoke their mind. They always were approachable by fans, by media. by their fellow peers. So that doesn't surprise me on that spot. And then the same thing with Madden and Stack. As teammates, you just see how animated those guys was and how good they used to tell stories when, you know, things happened the night before or the game before, what happened at the Palace with Steven Jackson or, you know, Matt when, you know, he's getting traded to a different team. So when I look at all four of those guys, I'm not surprised at the success they're having with their podcast because their personality, they match that type of energy.
Yeah, I didn't even bring up Gilbert Arenas, who you played with, and God, he was like one of the ones that got away from Warrior fans. But how about Mike Dunleavy? Like, you know, he was the son of a coach, and his dad was also a GM, and you played with him for a long time. Any surprise that he's in the GM role with the Warriors right now?
No, it's not no surprise at all. You know, that's kind of what Mike does. He's always been a smart guy, been very educated, understand basketball, really high basketball IQ. Known Mike since high school. Again, another McDonald's All-American together, playing on the USA 20 and under team. So we know each other way back. It's cool to see him in a front office role, controlling the team, helping the team, trying to get back to their winning ways.
Talking to Warrior legend here, Jason Richardson on the River Islands guest line. And Jason, obviously referencing Mike Dunleavy, just made a huge move, obviously, moving on from Andrew Wiggins, trading him to the Miami Heat, trading Dennis Schroeder, Kyle Anderson, amongst others, and bringing in Jimmy Butler. Your impression of Jimmy as a Warrior in these three games and your impression overall as just a player, obviously taking Miami Heat to two different NBA finals, coming up short there. Probably a future Hall of Famer, but it had some baggage, was indefinitely suspended early on this season. Just your thoughts overall as him, the player, and the fit on the Warriors, Jason.
Well, just watching Jimmy from afar, one thing I always loved about Jimmy is his competitive nature, his ability to compete on both ends of the floor. And I think him being such a competitor and wanting to win is sometimes misunderstood. And I think he get a bad rap for that because when it's all said and done, he really just wants to win basketball games. He wants to play the right way and he wants to win. And so I think he get a bad rap because he do get a little bit mad about that, stubborn at times, that things are not going how he should. But I kind of had that same personality. If I'm working hard, I want somebody just as working hard just as I am. No matter if I'm the starter team or if I'm the bench player, I want somebody to work to try to achieve the goal of winning. And I think him having that attitude and coming to Golden State, you just bring another person that just want to win. And that Steph and Dre is getting older with the young guys, Kuminga and all those guys. I think they have opportunity to get better. And maybe next year, it might be a little bit too late now trying to get that chemistry to try to push for another championship. But I think, you know, you're going in the right direction by bringing a guy like Jimmy Butler in.
Yeah, you know, I was confident earlier this week to the Troy Murphy and Dunleavy trade for Al Harrington and Stackjack. Not that Dunleavy and Murphy weren't solid players. It was just the team needed like a jolt. And then immediately it felt like Stackjack and Harrington just fit right in to the culture. And the whole team kind of assimilated to that. And I felt like this current Warrior team just needed a jolt. You know, we liked Wiggins a lot. They needed to kind of shake it up. Was it harder for you guys to acclimate Stackjack and Al Harrington, or was it harder for them to kind of acclimate to what you guys had going back then to the We Believe season?
It wasn't hard at all because, you know, Baron and Steven Jackson, they all like always around each other. They always hung out. Matt was always around. So it was like Al was always around. And, you know, you throw me and Monte, we could get in and play with anybody. So it was an easy transition for us because we all pretty much similarly played the right way, the same way. We played fast. We got up and down the court. We shot threes. And we tried to play defense. So it was just putting the right pieces together. And so I think that's what's going on right now with the Warriors. You add a guy like Jimmy Butler, who is a piece that could defend, that he could play fast, he could shoot the ball, he could be a scorer that you need, like down the stretch where you could throw the ball to him and he's going to get you a basket. So I think it was just the right fit. And then when you had those type of right fits, it doesn't take much time, a week or two to fit in. But I just think at this level right now, just seeing all the teams in the NBA, you know, the Nuggets and the Celtics and the Spurs that have gotten better, Minnesota is good. It's just tough to have that at the mid-season, to have a trade and try to compete for a championship.
God, it's crazy. It's going to be coming up on 18 years since We Believe. 18 years. It does not seem like 18 years, but time does fly, right?
I just had my 25th anniversary reunion for my college championship, man. Aged in the last week. I had age in the last week.
The Flintstones, that you guys were Mopee, Mateen Cleaves, yourself, like,
Izzo.
That team was legendary.
Izzo, yeah.
Man. It was a special, and we had our 25th anniversary last weekend, seeing all my brothers, you know, with the majority of them got back. It was just amazing, but to think that was 25 years ago, and then you said the We Believe team was 18 years ago. Man, I am really getting old.
Young at heart, though, Jason. And we had a couple of Michigan State Spartans last night. Max Christie, obviously, yeah. Draymond Green playing well yesterday as well. And Jason, just thinking back to that run, right? Like, the Warriors, I don't know if they're going to be primed for a We Believe run. Like, let's say hypothetically they match up against the Thunder in round one. I'm sure the Thunder would not want to see playoff Jimmy and Stephen Curry. They're a young team. They haven't gone to that level yet, but they're still young. They're athletic. They're long. This, then the other. What was it about your guys' squad going up against Dirk and that Mavericks team that made it so difficult on them?
Well, I think the first thing what people didn't realize was before we even made a trade for Al and Steven, we used to either play Dallas really close or we'll beat them. And we had a couple of those games. And so when you add a guy like Steven Jackson and Al Harrington, it gave us a dynamic change where we could have different guys and throw different lineups at Dirk. Not to mention, you know, you throw in the fact that Nelly came from Dallas. He had a vindictive with him. He was ready to go at him with, you know, the fallout he had when he was a coach there. And he taught Dirk everything he knows. So he knew all of Dirk moves. So we almost had we had an answer to the test. He knew every Dirk move. You know, when Dirk drive right, somebody be there because he's going to spin back. And we were there every time. If you go back and watch that game, every time Dirk drove right and he spun back, it was somebody there to take the ball from him. So it was kind of having an answer to the test. And then on top of that, we just bonded really together as a team. And it was, the rest was history.
Nelly was such a legend. Like, he was just such an OG.
Really was.
For someone that played for him, what stuck out to you? What made him so unique to the players? Because obviously he's a big character. Like, I'm closing my eyes and I'm just thinking about him partying with Willie Nelson and all the fellas that live in Hawaii with him currently. But as a player, what was it about Nelly that everybody gravitated towards?
Well, he was truly the first player coach I had, and you always want to know what's a player coach. He was a guy that, you know, he actually played a game. He understood what the players think and what the players are going through. So it would be days like he knew we were tired, but we still needed to be in the gym. And he would come in and he'd have two beers. It'd be the springtime and cigar in his mouth, his little dog following him around. And I'm going to the A's game. You guys run practice. And we're like, what? But we knew we had to be in the gym, and we took it serious. I mean, we ran practice by ourselves. Or at times, he just wanted, you know, it was a little bit stagnant in practice. Hey, bigs versus small. What? What are you talking about, bigs versus small? And you watching, you know, Eric Dampier dribbling the ball up court and Donald Poirier dribbling the ball up court. And we trying to, you know, they trying to post us up, the guards up. And it was just a different mix of just freezing things out, making things totally different, just getting a refresh, a reset button. And that's what made him so fun to be around and being, you know, being coached by him.
Talking to Jason Richardson here. He's participating, I should say, in the Celebrity Pickleball Bash. He's coaching alongside Baron Davis, and they're coaching up against the Run TMC crew. And a part of his roster alongside Baron Davis, he's got T.O., Brandi Chastain, Uriah Faber, Latrell Sprewell, and many others. Again, go to CelebrityPickleballBash.com right now, Joe Shasky.
You know, the big Luka trade this week shocked the fan base for the Dallas Mavericks. And I'll never forget the day that you got traded for the draft pick that would eventually be Brandon Wright. And it was a heartbreaking moment for a lot of Warrior fans because of what you represented. Like, you were the grit and the soul of the team and the blue-collar nature. And you wanted to be a Warrior when very few guys wanted to be a Warrior. We watched you elevate your game year after year after year. What was it like for you to get notified that you were being traded and go through that process? Because I know for the fans, although a lot of us had never really gotten over it.
Yeah, first of all, it wasn't as big of a trade as Luka. But for me, it was a tough trade. You know, I got drafted to Golden State. I became an adopted son of the whole Bay Area. Everything I did on the court was for the fans that, you know, went through all those years of suffering and losing, and guys that didn't want to stay there, and we finally figured it out, got a winning organization, you know, with the We Believe team, and then you get traded. It hurts. You take it personal. But when you realize that, you get a little bit older, and a couple of years later, you realize it's a business. You know, Monte was coming up. He didn't have the big contract. He was a very skilled player. He needed time for him to grow and become the player he was. And, you know, the rest of that, you know, after that, you get, you know, draft stuff, and you draft Clay, draft Draymond. Now you got a dynasty. So I think everything happened for a reason. But I think one thing about the Bay Area, just every time I come back or every time somebody mention it, it sends a smile on my face, because it's so much love. And those fans really appreciated what I did when, you know, those 6 years I was there.
Absolutely.
Hey, Jason.
You're very beloved. Still are.
Absolutely. And we appreciate your time with us today. I mean, Jaskin, I just, obviously at our hearts, we're huge NBA fans. So whenever we get to talk to the likes of you, or you talked to Jerry Rice yesterday, yeah, we'll do some name drops. Like, we don't take this stuff for granted. So we really appreciate you coming on with us, and the fact that you're doing the Celebrity Pickleball Bash again this weekend at the Warfield. And yeah, they're going to be putting a pickleball court on stage, Joe Shasky. Great celebs, pro matchups, music, entertainment all mixed in. You know what they're calling it? They're calling it Pickletainment. Sounds like an awesome show to me. Get your tickets now.
Pickletainment,
Jason. Let's go. Get your tickets
and
now.
And by the way, Baron Davis is going to be DJing, so that's going to be even more fun.
Does he have good music taste? Keep it real.
Yeah, he does. Baron does. He does have good music taste.
Okay. All right. I'm going to take the word for that.
If it's as good as his podcast takes, I'm sure his music takes will be great.
Hey, seriously.
Jason, we appreciate the
time, Jason.
Man.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
There he is. That's Jason freaking Richardson, baby. Former dunk champ in 2002 and 2003. Runner-up in 2004. Obviously.